Want your boss to put some real action behind the rhetoric when they talk about making your workplace more inclusive? Find out how to hold their feet to the fire to demand diversity on the Diversity Dude Podcast with Reg Clark.
And here in Houston, with his pulse on the finger of the community, is Reg Clark, host of the Diversity Dude Podcast. He is in Houston. Reg, thank you so much for joining me on the Shaletta Show.
Thanks for having me, Shaletta.
When you saw those city workers, because it was breaking news in Houston, once Max alerted me to what was going on, sent me video and photos, I turned it on KPRC2 News, where my friend Erica Young is a producer, and it was the lead story. They had the video. I flipped channels to every other news station in town. They had it as well. You know, just talk to me about how Houstonians are feeling seeing George Floyd Square kind of swept up and swept away.
Well, Slayer, I think what it looks like is you know, once again, the message is let's turn the page. Time to move on. If the square was something that wasn't feasible, then was there an alternative plan? And was that plan communicated? What's next? But it also, you know, it just feels like cleanup on aisle six type thing. You know, hey, let's keep it moving. Nothing to see here. Let's keep it going. This has gone on long enough. So I think there's a lot of angst because not unlike the Tulsa massacre. All right, let's just turn the page and forget about history. But I don't think it'll be as easy to turn the page on this or just, you know, turn a blind eye to it. So although individuals are sad, I think there are enough voices that will call for continued change.
And, Reg, you've been in diversity, inclusion, and leadership roles for two decades. You've sat and chaired many a committee, steered many a committee, came up with a lot of ideas, you know, big picture type stuff. I was talking to Max earlier in the show about why they can't make that a place, a sacred place. You know, and I hate the comparison of Graceland and Elvis, but what they've done there is created a memorial that people come from all over the world to see. And that's what people are doing now in the makeshift memorial for George Floyd. I'm at the square at least twice a week with Crown Shepherd and a group of African-American children's authors. We are handing out our books to white parents to end racism through reading. They are, you know, books about black families and black stories. And we give those to the white parents to say, here, give these to your kids. You know, take them back home. Thank you for bringing them here. But we want you to make sure that you raise them to be an ally. If you have any questions, we're here. Because people want to know what they can do next. And just to take that away, to make that a drive-by instead of making it a destination. And I'm not here advocating for, you know, the making money off of a black man's pain and a black man's life. But what I'm saying we can do is they can take care of two birds with one stone. They can memorialize George Floyd and then bring the jobs to that area. You know, if you memorialize it, you got to bring some hotels, then you got to bring some restaurants, and then you got to put up some infrastructure around there, and then the people have jobs, and the people get training, and then jobs become businesses, and so it's a ripple effect. Nobody around Graceland is broke right now.
Well, so I think this is the biggest issue when it comes to the whole diversity and inclusion. You know, sometimes I rail against the whole diversity piece because I think it's so far outdated. Is that there's a complete lack of foresight. There's a lack of inclusion of having the voices in the room that can actually make a difference. So the businesses in that area, or the idea of saying, before we shut this down, let's communicate a plan to the community so that they can understand what the next steps are. Let's have a forum so we can see, do we have an opportunity to do a reflection pool? Do we have a chance to commemorate this square as, you know, a focal point in history, a point of change where we really got not only America's attention, but we got the world's attention on the need for inclusion and acceptance. So that's the biggest issue, is there's seemingly a lack of foresight, a lack of planning, a lack of consideration, and just wanting, again, to move on. Let's just sweep this away and then get on to the next topic.
What is your take, being in a leadership role for 20 years? We're talking to Reg Clark, host of the Diversity Dude podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Stitcher, Google, Spotify, Amazon. What is your take on the way leadership has handled this? You've been in leadership capacity for 20 years. When you see finger pointing and folks not wanting to take responsibility, and looks like they're throwing the blame on somebody else, like, this is not my fault. I didn't do it. You know, this group did it. We paid them, and they said that this is what the community wanted. You know, what's your take on that?
Well, so it's a lack of inclusion. So if this was something that leadership considered important, it would have been handled very well. We've seen this time and time again. Anytime a group or a leadership group sees something that's being pivotal or very important, it's handled down to the very last detail. When something is that is when they don't deem it as being important, when they don't respect it, then they tend to give it to someone else. It's a letter. You've heard me say this before. You know, if an organization is creating a diversity program, then, you know, why is it doing it? It's because now you have this ability to be able to say plausible deniability, right? I didn't know. I thought they were doing it. This is what they were supposed to be doing. So it's pawning it off into someone else rather than taking it for the greatness that it presents, that George Floyd Memorial was far more than just a memorial to George Floyd. Again, it was a moment in history. It was a flashpoint. It was a time that we could come together and say, wow, not only did this happen, but it was a recollection of so many other events that have happened and continue to happen. But this is a chance for us to reflect, to talk. I mean, there's so many things that they could have done, and I'm just so surprised that the leadership didn't take a moment to pause and say, what good can we bring out of this moment?
Okay, see, hold on. I'm typing this up on Twitter, so I'm sorry, because I'm taking notes. What you're saying is so good, I'm taking notes. I'm surprised the leadership didn't take a moment to say, what now? Because I need to put this quote on Twitter, and I'm going to tag Mayor Jacob Fry. Mm-hmm. Because we're talking to Reg Clark, and he's just doing it.
Leadership didn't say what good could be brought out of this moment.
Oh, my God.
You know, we own this moment in time, and as tragic as it was, there's some positive change that's coming, and we want to own part of that change.
I am speaking with Reg Clark, a diversity and inclusion expert, 20 years in the business in Houston, Texas, where George Floyd was born and raised and left to move to Minneapolis to get murdered by Derek Chauvin. We are discussing what happened this week when city workers went in and start clearing out George Floyd Square. And then, you know, subsequently we learned about the drive-by memorial that they had planned. And Reg Clark said something so interesting in the last break, and he was so kind to stick around. And we're talking about owning this moment. Reg, you got to tell me what you mean by that.
Well, I think anytime that there's something as pivotal as, you know, what happened with George Floyd, there's an opportunity to use that as a beacon for change, a call to change, a call to arms, so to speak. How do you say, okay, this happened, and it happened on our watch, but what is it that we can do to galvanize this moment into a moment of change? What is it that we can, how do we give more significance to this moment than just simple wrapping up as a footnote in history? How do we make sure that, whether it's, you know, memorializing the individual, memorializing the event, or taking the opportunity to really say, this is what we want to do. And every year on a certain date, we're going to not only just revisit the situation, we're going to revisit the progress that's taken place since the situation.
That takes work. And it looks like they just want to do a drive-by. Yeah, let's just drive by and you'll see the fist and it'll be up in the middle and you'll remember the man and you'll keep going. But, you know, they drive by opportunities. They drive by businesses. They drive by homes. They drive by infrastructure that could be built. It's just it doesn't make any sense. And the fact that these city leaders want to turn a blind eye or wink at, you know, the fact that you know, oh, we didn't know, or, you know, it wasn't under our watch, or we paid these people to do it, or those folks were supposed to look at it, and they were supposed to have their finger on the pulse of the community, just reminds me of, you know, after George Floyd was murdered, Ridge, I complained and railed and fussed and cussed and spit for a week because no city or state or elected official went down to the area. It took a full week before anybody went down there and wrapped their arms around the community. And the same thing happened when Dante Wright was killed. Jesse Jackson with Parkinson's disease made it from Chicago to Brooklyn Center before our entire D.C. delegation, both U.S. senators, the governor, and the mayor of our major metropolitan cities. And that, to me, is so telling, especially when you start talking about, you know, if this was important for them, they would take time and they would do it right and not farm it off to some third party. This is not a third party event. This is an event that took place in our city, a tragic event that changed history. And we just want to drive by it like it's just a sculpture and it's a fist. And what does it mean? And I don't know, because we want to open cup foods. Really?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a moment to get people involved to say, what can we do to advance this story, this message? I do understand in some cases, if there are some reasonable, I don't want to say fears, but issues that might prevent that from happening, but why not, again, bring that to the community for a discussion? If you're concerned about, you know, maybe it not being received as positively as you intended to, then get the input from the individuals to figure out how to give it more meaning, not only to one group of people, but to the masses. How do you make sure that everyone feels included in what this is supposed to represent? And how do you make sure that it's an environment that people feel great to be in? It's a space that people feel great to be in that's going to foster greater conversation, that every year when you bring it back to that place, it's not a place of doom or gloom. It's not a spot with negative vibes to it, but it's a spot that's been turned into a positive space that when people go to it, although the event is very somber, you know, the spot would grow from that. It's kind of like the rose that grew from concrete. It's, you know, the phoenix rising from the ashes. So whenever you can take that negative and turn it into something positive, then you can create momentum from that. And it bothers me that the leadership has not communicated any plans to do something positive about that space.
You know, I didn't think diversity and inclusion was part of why we're here, why we're talking about this, why this was fumbled, why the ball was dropped. But it seems to me, after listening to our conversation, that diversity and inclusion is at the core of how this whole situation was mishandled.
It's at the core of everything. I mean, there's not many issues that we see brought up that we can't say, okay, you know, there's no component of diversity and inclusion in there. And again, Shaletta, you know, I'm more about inclusion because diversity is a natural thing. We are diverse, period. The idea is that we bring in enough voices to the table to be included. So whether I'm hearing men talk about women's reproductive rights without any women in the room, any representation, or I'm hearing people make decisions for communities that, and they don't even live in those communities. It's concerning to me that we're not having this inclusive conversation. We're not bringing the right people, the right voices to the table in order to successfully impact change.
Well, change is coming, that's for sure. We just hope it's the right change. Reg Clark, host of the Diversity Dude podcast here in Houston, not too far from where I am at our RV park. Thank you for taking time out of your Saturday to chat with me. I know you got some Harley riding to do and that new hog you bought before the rain comes back. So I thank you for postponing your trip to chat with us. Thank you so much.
I was talking to you with my helmet on the whole time.
Tune in each week as Reg Clark shows you how to demand and implement diversity and inclusion at your job. To hear more, check out his previous shows on ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com.